Time for those kids to head out to junior church. Take your Bibles and turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Just to remind you of something I said last week, Jesus at this point had set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he had, and we read this all in context, which we can do that with Luke, because Luke says that he is putting together a kind of a systematic, ordered telling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how he starts out his book. That's what he's doing. He does the same thing in Acts when he writes that. But he has set his face toward to go to Jerusalem. Before that happened, he took three disciples, John, James, and Peter, and they went to what we now call the Mount of Transfiguration, simply because that's what happened there, the Transfiguration. And Moses and Elijah appear, and they begin to talk to him, Luke says, about his departure that would happen in Jerusalem. And the scripture says he sets his face to go to Jerusalem. All right? So as he's going, you know, we talked about this last week in the particular difficult thing that Jesus said. He begins to be a little more frank. He begins to really kind of deal with some stuff that maybe he hadn't, or some things are coming to a head, and he's beginning to deal with stuff. He's asked, in beginning of Luke chapter 13, there was some political things that were happening. There was some current events that were in the Jerusalem Times, and everybody was talking about them. And so Jesus is like, they're saying, okay, does this mean this is going to happen? Does this mean this is going to? And Jesus very simply says, you know, except you repent, you'll all perish. He brings it back to a reality. You've got to change the way you're thinking here. If you're thinking that all of this stuff is happening for a purpose and for a reason, you're missing the point. The point is, you need to rethink the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So as Jesus begins to head to Jerusalem, he deals a little more straightforward and direct with some of the issues. It's interesting the way Luke, I love the way, I don't know if you read the scripture this way, but whenever you read Luke particularly and Matthew, if he says, the author says, something is going to happen, you know it's going to happen, because he begins by saying, and Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And you go, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? Something's going to happen, because Luke has made a statement, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath. All right? So now we know. Something's about to happen. We have to take, because there were people who didn't like that Jesus was doing some things on the Sabbath. Sabbath was a day of rest. And Jesus is going to deal with this. See, part of the problem that Jesus was having here, and just be honest about this, is that he came, as John says in chapter 1, to a people that was his own, but his own did not recognize him. And as that grew, and as he became more setting his face toward Jerusalem, he began to get more opposition. He began to get people to come and say, you know, get out of our territory. Herod's going to kill you. Get out of our territory. You know, you're breaking the Sabbath. You're doing all these things on the Sabbath. You shouldn't be doing all these things on the Sabbath. And everybody was starting to, excuse me, nitpick. Anybody ever been around nitpicking? Yeah. And so they were nitpicking him. And so it's interesting that how things happen, because as they're doing this, Jesus is in the synagogue teaching on a Sabbath. So as he stands up to teach, well, let's just read it. I could tell you the story, but let's just read it. Beginning in verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But, we could stop there and rejoice, right? But, the ruler of the synagogue, indignant. Now, I looked that word up in Greek, and indignant means he was mad. Okay? And the degree of madness was affecting him physically. In other words, he was so mad, it was affecting his body. Okay? I mean, that's what this meant in the Greek. What verse was my mom? I lost my place. He was indignant. Where's that at? Verse. Thank you. But he was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the people, you know what's happening here? Rather than address Jesus with his concerns, he says to the people, look, are there not 6 days that you can come and be healed? Why do we have to do this on the Sabbath, the day of rest? You have, and can I say this probably what he was thinking? You have messed up our worship service. We were going by the bulletin so well. And now you come in, I let you teach. That's all I wanted you to do, just teach. I didn't want you to heal anybody on the Sabbath. You just teach. So we taught. Looked over and saw a lady that had been like this for 18 years. Can you imagine that? I mean, we've all seen people like that, right? You know, they walk to the store like this. You know, can you imagine doing this for 18 years, never being able to straighten up? You know? And Jesus saw her. And it's unlike, you know, when he went to the dude that was at the pool of Siloam, he says, do you want to be healed? And the guy says, well, I'm here, and every time the water stirs, I get up and I try to scoot myself to the water, somebody jumps in before and I miss the healing. He doesn't do that. He just says, woman, be healed. He came to her and he reached out and he touched her and freed her from this spirit, or freed her from what was happening in her life. And she went, and you know, she, I'll get to this in just a second, but here's what I think. Anybody remember Stacy Redd a while ago? Here's what I think she said. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He forgives my iniquity. He heals my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies me with good, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that. When you start thinking about, okay, here's the deal. I'm gonna cut straight to it. There is no indication that this was the first time the lady had been in synagogue. In fact, I believe she had come to the synagogue every Sabbath for 18 years or more. Bent over, seeking help, and nobody helped her until this day. But can you imagine? Now, I'm taking you someplace that you may never thought before. But can you imagine this woman's life for 18 years? Because for 18 years in the lectionary of the synagogue, this prayer was prayed at least 4 times a year for 18 years. That's a lot of years. Okay? And here's what she did when they prayed and sung the prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives my iniquity, who heals my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies me with good so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, does that put a new picture on this? Here's a woman, 18 years, who was in distress, but she was faithful. She continued for 18 years, I believe, going to the synagogue, praying the Psalms, praying the prayers. She continued with these issues in her life. And so on this day, when Jesus set her free, that took on new meaning for her. Now, let's stop there a minute. And can we rejoice with her? You betcha. But the synagogue preacher said, hey, let's don't do that on the Sabbath. Let's don't do that on the Sabbath. You're messing everything up. You know. Now, I'm stressing this point because I want us to see the context of Jesus was in. This is what Jesus had to deal with every day. All of his walk, all of his teachings, everything, every time he healed somebody, he knew that over there was a little group of Pharisees that would, when he got there, would stop him and question him on something. But he remained faithful. She remained faithful. And when the faithfulness of Jesus, whew, this is good, folks. When the faithfulness of Jesus meets your steadfast and faith, something always happens. That's what God's calling us to be faithful. To be faithful in what we do, even if it doesn't go like we think it ought to. Even if it doesn't happen the way we want it to, even if we're questioning, how long, oh Lord? How many of us have issues we've had for 18 years? Let's remain faithful. Because Jesus is faithful. And as you remain faithful and Jesus remains faithful, one of these days those faithful things will cross and you will have a touch from Jesus. And guess what? Glory to God, things will happen in your life. Amen. But there are always the buts. I don't think I meant to say that way. The naysayers. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Why? Why? Because bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives our iniquity. He heals our disease. He redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? Now, after the religious leader said, why can't you come here on Thursday? Yeah, I'm making it say different, but that's what he's saying. You come any other day of the week. Why today? Why today? Now, let's look back. Look down there. Jesus responds. His response is not innuendo. It's not clouded. It's not Maybe they got it and maybe they didn't. You hypocrites. Let me ask you a question. If you have, excuse me, if you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the manger and lead it to get water, you're helping out your animal. You're taking care of your animal. Ought not this woman? Here it is. This is the important thing. A daughter of Abraham. A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on a Sabbath day? See, here's the issue. And I'll say this as quick as I can because you've heard me say this before. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, believed if you had something wrong with you, it's because you had sin in your life. Okay? And so when she was released from this and healed on a Sabbath day, they were upset because, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna be really frank, but that's what Jesus is saying here. You're treating her less than a donkey. You'll take your donkey to water, but she's been healed. Ought we not celebrate that? And I love the response. I love it. As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejected all the glorious things. I mean, rejoice, yeah. But I have to really get new glasses. I'm telling you, that's... As he said these things, all the adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. What did he do? Well, of course, his faithfulness met her faithfulness. He called out and freed her. He had the power to do that, the power over the enemy, heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the hungry. He had the power to do that. But he did something else that is even more important than that. She had been beaten down. I mean, she's doubled over for 18 years, but metaphorically, she had been beaten down because they had beaten her down. Okay? And then he calls her something that the religious leaders would not have called her. Daughter Abraham. Now, throughout the Old Testament, Abraham was viewed as the one of faith. When Paul writes in the New Testament, he is constantly differentiating between the law of Moses, adherence to the law of Moses, and how we fail at that, and how we now have a place through the faith of Abraham. Abraham is a place of faith. Law in Moses is a place of obedience. And what Jesus is saying here, what's more important is the faith of Abraham, that she is a daughter of Abraham. She is an offspring of Abraham. She lives in the reality of her father Abraham. And he called her who the Pharisees refused to call her, a daughter of Abraham. You see what Jesus did, and if you follow this through his whole ministry, he spent a lot of time calling people out from what they were to who they are. Okay? Zacchaeus, the wee little man. But when he went to his house, he said, "Truly, a son of Israel is here." That was unheard. That Zacchaeus, are you kidding me? He's a tax collector. You know, the woman who had the issue of blood for years. Touched the hem of his garment. He publicly called her out because he wanted everybody who hear, even the critics, to hear that she was a daughter of Zion. Jesus called out who we are in him, not who we were. Think about this. That woman, when she would walk through, oh, there's that woman that's hunched over. Oh, there's that. She's been bent over like that for 18 years. Can you believe that? And then they would talk. From that Sabbath on, she was no longer no longer the hunched over woman. She was the daughter of Abraham. Amen? What about us? What about us? Okay, what about us? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has set his spirit, the spirit of his son, in your hearts, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. You know what that means? We are sons and daughters of God. Amen? And therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. And if a son or daughter, then you are an heir of God. Amen? Please continue to hear that. When the enemy comes against you, when people say stuff, remember, you are a child of the King. Amen? Amen. That's another sermon, and I'm out of sermons. Let's pray. And the answer to that is yes. All of us. Father, thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for all that you do in our midst. I thank you that you have placed your spirit within us, whereby we can say, Abba, Father. Ah, Daddy. And in our faithfulness, as it meets your faithfulness, you touch our lives in so many ways. And so, Father, I thank you for that. So I pray. Lord, I'm just thinking about the song that we sang today. Over all these situations, we speak Jesus. 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 So as you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, take this issue that you're struggling with. Take these things that you're dealing with. Take these questions, frustrations, issues, and speak Jesus over them. And let him work. He is faithful. You continue to pray and remain faithful, seeking him. And guess what? He will touch our lives in ways beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.